Everyone's heard the term burnt toast, right? Moms always get the last piece of toast. Why is it that moms always put themselves last? On today's episode, I have a very special guest. I have my sister-in-law. She's a career woman, mom to twins, married to my brother. And we want to talk about how to balance it all or not, and how to find yourself and put yourself first so that you can be a better mom and a better partner. We're going to get into it today, guys. So grab your coffee and let's get into it. Welcome back, everybody. Another episode of Candidly with Coffee, and I am here today in Studio B with a very special guest and co-host, my sister-in-law, Lorena Vargas. Lorena, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. I know that this is hard. It's hard to get people in studio sometimes. It's a little crazy, a little intimidating, but we did ramble on for about 15 minutes without hitting record, so you should be really comfortable right now.
That was good too. Dang it. I'm a talker, but this is intimidating. Like, I'm nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It is. I think that a lot of people think, oh yeah, I'm cool, I got this. But when they sit down and the lights and the cameras and stuff, it gets a little bit much. But I want to get into on today's episode, like being a busy mom, juggling it all, losing yourself and finding yourself again, and that process and what it looks like, the good, the bad, the ugly. Before we get into that, let's get into some hot topics and chat a little bit about just what's going on. Now, you are my sounding board for Bravo reality TV. So let's talk about Bravo. What are you watching on Bravo right now that you're loving?
The Valley. We are loving The Valley. I'm over Vanderpump already. I just love the new characters. Mm-hmm. I'm just loving it.
Yeah. I love the fact that everyone is a little older. So sometimes I feel inappropriate watching some of these Bravo shows. Wait a minute. I'm old enough to be all of these people's mothers, or they're just very young in life. They're partying. So I'm wanting to shift. But I watched Vanderpump religiously since the beginning. And with Scandoval, I got sucked back in. But now I'm yearning for shows that I can relate to a little bit more. Although The Valley, they're still younger than me and they're young families, but they're a little older and they're doing more grown up things.
Right.
You know what I mean?
With careers and all that good stuff.
Yeah. I feel that you could relate to that show a lot because you are a little bit older of a parent. You guys were older parents when you started, but you have young kids. And I think like Jax is on The Valley. The Valley's on Bravo, by the way, if you guys don't know. So Jax is, I think, 46 or something like that. And then they have young child. Yeah.
I'm 46.
Yeah. And so how old were you when you had your twins?
I was 2 months shy of turning 40. I was 39 when I had them.
That's actually a geriatric pregnancy.
It is. I had to go weekly to appointments. It was crazy. I had the hotline to the doctor, to the ER, to the emergency room, because that's what they do.
Damn.
To geriatric. It was double because of my age and because it was multiple.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. So yeah. We're going to get into all of that with Lorena. But yeah, I'm loving The Valley. I think it's great drama. Jax is such good TV. He's annoying AF. But such good TV.
Yeah. My friend, she actually went to Jax's bar in Studio City several episodes ago, and she had a picture with him, and she actually sent it to me on stories, and I was like, how is he? And he's the same. He's annoying and douchey.
Yeah, you know that I met him before, twice.
And how was he?
Annoying and douchey.
Yeah, same.
I sat next to him on the airplane. We were flying from Las Vegas to Los Angeles, and I was by myself flying, and I sat next to him, and he asked me if I watched Pump Rules. I knew exactly who he was, but I was like awkward and uncomfortable. So I said, oh, no.
That's so weird. I know. I feel so sorry for Brittany. This last episode, you can tell the struggles they're having with Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what. We don't know exactly what it is, but there's definitely some speech.
Yeah.
So I felt bad for her because we had the same struggles with Danny, Danny. She was in speech therapy. And just kudos to Brittany for identifying that and getting them help, because that's the first step. You try to get them help as soon as possible. And I just feel bad.
Yeah, don't you think, and I'm speculating here, I have no idea, I'm not a doctor, I'm nothing, but it sounds a lot like the experiences I've heard and with, like, on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. we thought the exact same thing, Danny and I, because we watch it together. Yeah. And we thought the exact same thing because she was saying that he was talking and then he just stopped and he was like regressing back. So I was like, oh, shit.
And did you pick up on the fact that when she was saying like, oh, is that normal because he lines things up or whatever? You could tell she's already done research.
Yeah.
You could tell Jax is freaking out because he's comparing his kid to everybody else. And yeah, and I'm sure that the struggles that they're experiencing with all of that is probably what has contributed to their separation.
100%. You know how Jax is, right? And anytime there's stress or the situation isn't going right, he just flees. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what he's doing with the bar, right? There's struggles at home and they haven't had...
Yeah. It's weird. What? Like, why? He said twice in a year.
He's going to get somewhere else because there are rumors of him.
Yeah. That's a serious problem. And she wants it. So it's not her.
Yeah. He's maybe just not attracted to her anymore. I don't know. Poor Brittany, because, man, he's a piece of work.
It is such a good show. I love it. I love also Kristen Doty. She's from Vanderpump Rules, and she is a hot mess express.
Oh, my gosh. OMG. Why does she? Like, how old are you? Stop doing the same things you were doing on Vanderpump Rules. Yeah. Please.
Like, it was funny because at one point, I think it was Michelle, looked at her and said, you need help.
I love Michelle, by the way.
Love her. Did you hear that they're getting separated too, her and her husband?
I'm not surprised because he too, man.
Yeah. So here's the rumor mill, guys. You heard it here on Candidly with Coffee. If you watch if you don't watch The Valley, because it's actually a very good show. Mm-hmm. It's good junk TV, but new. But the rumor is that they pretended to stay together because they got cast on the show, but they were already like on Splitsville, but they wanted the opportunity to be on the show. So they pretended to be together. And that's why there's such a huge disconnect, because they were already separated. And that's why as soon as the show aired, Splitsville, plus it gave good publicity for the show too. But that's the rumor.
That makes sense. Because in their interviews, it's just so awkward and there's no compassion. There's no love. They're just so separate.
Yeah. You can tell, like, there's no connection.
Yeah.
No connection at all.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You can't hide. You can't hide from things because as a viewer, not even know them, I mean, you can see it. Like,
yeah.
You can see it.
Let me ask you this. Do you watch any Real Housewives franchises?
I do, but I've been watching them back. So, like, I watched Miami. I watched Beverly Hills. But I don't know. I love it, but maybe it's a time thing.
Yeah. It's a time thing. Do you have a favorite?
Miami. I love Miami.
Of course, you love Miami. I love that you love Miami because then you can come visit me when I move there. Yes. I'm going to end up in Miami. I'm putting it out there. I am ending up
in a high rise. I already see it. You, that's you and Mike. And it's funny you mentioned that because I figured.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I can already see us. Maybe we'll take a girl's trip out there. A girl's night go visit.
Yeah, I can't. Oh my gosh, totally. Yeah, because we're just not the suburbia people.
No, you're not.
And I'm at a different stage of my life. And I want to spend at least 5 years in Miami. I'm not saying that I'll be there forever, because I think that once my grandkids are born, or I'll see like where Alyssa settles and Tyler settles and then figure that out. But I wouldn't mind having like bi-coastal places, or I also would be like, Alyssa, buy a house with a casita. And that way, when you have kids and when you guys travel or whatever, that I can just fly to and stay, because our business is all online, so we can do it from anywhere. So yeah, I just have big dreams for the second stage of my life.
In a high rise with all the amenities. Yeah. You and I, we talk about amenities we love our hotels.
Yes, and room service. Yes. I love room, like a DoorDash, but I love amenities and I love that hotel. And I want that like hotel living to where I don't have a lot of clutter either. It was funny because Mike said, all right, so if we move or when we move, what are we bringing? And I said, nothing.
The dogs?
Yeah. I said, the clothes off our backs and no furniture and the dogs. I mean, not a single piece of furniture is coming. We are just starting fresh.
Yeah. And minimal furniture. Minimal
like decor and stuff. I want I want just clean surfaces. Clean, I don't want lot of stuff. And yeah, I want that hotel feeling, because they don't have a lot of stuff right in a hotel. But yeah, I'm excited.
So let me ask you, is there a year in mind, like maybe next year, like this year?
I would say probably within 2 years, ideally around the time I turn 50.
I was just gonna say, yeah, have a big party there. Mm-hmm. We'll go.
Yeah, ideally around the time I turn 50. And I feel like everything is drawing me to Miami. I keep getting pulled there for different things. And I'm like, yeah, like the I need to do it. I need to go. So I have a question on Real Housewives. What are your thoughts on Kyle Richards and Morgan? What are you, your honest opinion on what's going on there?
Of course they're together. Hello. Who was it that mentioned it? Some celebrity talked about it. Like someone, not Lady Gaga, but someone like...
Oh, Rihanna.
Rihanna, yeah, Rihanna, right? Was like, they're together. Of course, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Rihanna explained it actually exactly the way I believe it. I believe that Mauricio has done his dirt over time that kind of chipped away at Kyle, but she forgave because of where she was at in her life. Mm-hmm. But those kind of things chip away. So I don't think he's been innocent in their marriage, but I don't think he's done anything current. But what I do think is that left her vulnerable, and she met someone that filled her tank, gave her what she was missing from him, and then it brought to light all of the past resentments that were there. Because those kind of things, they stay there. You may think you're past them, but they stay there. And then I think she suddenly became selfish and started changing. And he just thought that she would always be there.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's the resentment, right? And all those things add up. So I don't think he didn't do anything. Or when he was on Dancing with the Stars, I don't think he did anything with his partner. Mm-hmm. But yeah, little by little. And she started getting her life back too. Because how old is Portia now, the youngest?
She's 16.
So exactly now mm-hmm. it's time for her and her life, and she's just over him.
You know? It's a stage, and you go through that in marriages, and you go through these stages, and you got to be mindful and be aware of the stages and that you're on, that you're connected leading into each stage. Anticipate the stages, because like even young couples, right? So when you're young, if you're both around the same age and you're getting into your 30s, that's a stage too, because you change a lot from like your late 20s to your early 30s. There's a shift, and that's where my marriage had some issues, is when I came into my own when I hit 30 and I started to think a little differently.
Right.
But so Kyle is in a stage, and her stage is empty nest is approaching, and she's starting to think about her life without the kids. They're not her main focus, right? Mm-hmm. So she's thinking, okay, what's my life going to look like? I want to go paddle boarding and be in nature and do all of these things. And Mauricio is ramping up the social life. And they are going in two different directions. And that's not what she wants. And that's not what he wants. And that's what happens.
Yeah, I agree.
I do believe that she is 100% with Morgan. They've been together this whole entire time. And I believe she'll come out probably like on the next season or something like that. I think that she's going to come out. I feel like she was so close to saying it on the reunion, but didn't.
But didn't, yeah. And who is she trying to cast? Alec Baldwin's wife. Did you hear about that?
No, Alaria, yeah, whatever her name is.
I saw it on Insta a few days ago. Yeah,
isn't that the one that pretends she has an accent, yes, but she's American? She's like a Dorit.
Oh my God.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's news to me. Oh, that's interesting. I do definitely feel that Morgan will be on. I think Morgan will be on the next season. Do you watch on another topic? We could talk about shows all day. Do you watch Buying Beverly Hills? I think you guys would like that if you don't.
Oh my God. With Mauricio's show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just started watching it. And I binged watched like 3 episodes. I like it.
Yeah.
Because I like watching the girls.
I love it.
And I can't believe how big and beautiful they are. Wow. Like time just flies. And as you watch the show, you feel like they grew up with you. You're like, they're growing up and you see it. And it's crazy. Yeah. It's wild.
They're beautiful too. Those girls are so beautiful. But on Buying Beverly Hills, I really have realized that I personally think that Mauricio smokes too much weed. He literally is always like this. You know what? Like he's got this look of like he has no idea what's going on. Aloofness to him. And that's fogginess. And
like silly. He's always like silly.
Yeah. He's like in a fog. You know what it is? He lacks depth. He lacks depth. And that's And Morgan is like one of those deep artistic personalities. And that's what drew Kyle to Morgan. But I love the show Buying Beverly Hills too. All right, you guys, we could go on. We could have a whole other show, Lorraine and I, talking about social media drama and all the shows, recapping. I don't know. We got to think about that. That might be fun to do like a reality recap or something like that. All right, but let's get into it because I want to know. I feel like I've been that mom where, you know, I served myself last and took care of myself last and let everything go and was falling apart. And as a result, I didn't actually show up as my best self, my best partner, my best mom because of that. But let's go back to Lorena here now. Let's go back to like the beginning, like when you got married. How old were you when you married my brother?
30 something. Actually, we're going to be celebrating our 15 year wedding anniversary this year. Yeah. So 17 years together. Crazy.
That's crazy.
And I always joke with him because I say I was in my 20s when I met you because I was 29 when we met.
Okay. What's the age difference between the two of you?
6 years.
Okay. Yeah, 6 years.
Which I like it because typically men don't mature as fast as women. So when I met him, he was mature. He had his shit together. It was, I was just like, wow, because he treated me like a queen. He would do things for me. He still does. He's very like that. For birthdays, he'll spoil me. That's what turned me on because he was just so nice and respectful.
So I actually think that 6 years is perfect because it's not quite an age gap relationship. You're like the same generation, but you're far enough, but there is a little bit of a distance apart there. What are you, are you aware of, or do you guys pay attention to things like love languages? And if so, what are your love languages?
Yeah, like I said, for me, like him doing those little things.
Acts of service.
Yeah, acts of service. And I think same thing for him too. Because we're not about the money or buying me expensive big things.
Not like me, basically. No, I'm
just kidding. I do like my good things. Look, for Christmas, he bought me like the diamond G&D, which I thought was so thoughtful because he listens. I've been wanting these and he listens. Yeah. And
he's a good gift giver.
He is. Yeah. He's really good. Even for birthdays too, him and the girls, they'll decorate. He'll go buy donuts, roses. That's his love language. Just making sure birthdays, that you feel special on your birthday.
Yeah. I think that's important, is knowing love languages. That is so important for ultimate like compatibility, like going forward. You have to know how to love each other and how each other receives love. And it's so important and building that strong foundation and before you add kids into the mix, because otherwise, because kids make it hard. Kids make it hard. I know that for sure. So what are, let's see, so both of you guys are acts of service. Now, would you say that you guys are now, like looking back in hindsight, are you pretty compatible personality wise or are there like big friction points in your personalities?
We're 100% compatible. I don't think we've ever had friction. We don't fight either, which I don't know if could be a good or a bad thing. Of course, we do have our quarrels, but we've never had a big old blowout.
Your compatibility. Do you have friction points in, like, because you're different and you're having, one hasn't to compromise a lot versus the other?
No, I think like from the beginning, we've always been together. We spend so much time together. Back before the kids, we would work out. We would do everything together. Even when I was in the office working, I'd be on my way home. On our way home to our house, and I'd be on the phone like talking to him. Like we're just always together, and it's never been a problem. Even working from home, raising kids together at home, it's never been a problem.
Yeah, I feel like you guys are best friends.
We are. We're everything. Best friends, lovers, everything. We're partners. Even because I'm just so thankful that I found a partner like him, especially now raising two kids.
Exactly.
Like it's 50-50. And like he does so much. In the mornings, I get the girls ready and he's downstairs making them breakfast and lunch. And I got laid off. I'm just blessed. I'm very blessed.
How long did you guys date before you got married?
2 years. It was two years.
Pretty quick.
Yeah, it was quick. But I think he saw that I was staying after the brain tumor, right?
Yeah.
So we started dating in 2007, and then 2008 is when he found out about the brain tumor.
Yeah. I've talked about it a little on this show, but not fully. So just to loop you guys into the story. So my brother had cancer when he was a child. I was 8. I think he was 12. That kind of rocked our entire world. He had lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And the treatments that he received as a result of that cancer ultimately led to him having, what was it, the meningioma
brain tumor.
Okay.
So non-cancerous.
Yeah, non-cancerous, probably caused by the radiation he received when he was a child. Because they did radiate his brain because they wanted to prevent the spread of the cancer at that time, which was like a crazy. It was all experimental.
Yeah. So back then in the 80s, it was experimental everything.
So fast forward now, when you guys began dating is when he received his diagnosis, right? You guys were dating when he received his diagnosis that he had a very large brain tumor, would have like kicked off a whole other life of his disability.
Because he was working at eBay, had a career, everything. And then little by little, I just started noticing things. His left side would just started going numb. He would bump into things. And back then we were traveling a lot. We were drinking a lot, traveling. Mm-hmm. And we went to Vegas and they ended up kicking him out of a pool party because they thought he was so drunk because he was bumping into things. But we were drinking, but we weren't drunk.
I never knew that story.
Yeah, they kicked us out because they thought he was like toast.
Yeah. What's ironic is I remember he came to my house, and this is what kicked off like really stuff going down. It was two things that happened. He came to my house and I was helping him with something, and he seemed stressed. He shows his stress. Mm-hmm. He seemed really stressed and I was like worried about him. So when he left, I ran to Alyssa's bedroom had a window to the front of the house, and I ran to the bedroom and I wanted to watch him walk outside. And when he was walking to his car, his flip flop kept falling off. And it's funny now, but it wasn't funny then. I was thinking like, that's fucking weird. Mm-hmm. What is going on? And the very next day was my mom's birthday at Mountain Mike's Pizza. And I was like Hawkeye because I knew something was up. So I was paying attention to him. And the entire time we were at the pizza spot, he had his hand was like closed and it was down. And he wasn't really moving it. And so that night when we got home from pizza, I think I called you. We called and said something or whatever. Hey, what's going on with Danny or whatever? Elizabeth and I got together and we're like, something's up, intervention time. And I think that's the night that you guys took him to Kaiser.
I don't remember. It could be. But yeah, it was about time because then we were like, did he have a stroke? We didn't know what was going on because his face was just droopy. He couldn't use his left arm. It was getting scary and he didn't want to go because I kept asking him. Finally, we were at your parents' house. And I think it was after that conversation. Mm-hmm. Maybe like your mom talked to him and it was like, okay, we have to go. And back then he was smoking. And I remember when we walked into the cigarette. ER, he's like, one less cigarette.
Because he already knew. I swear, he's literally like my mom. And we're just all the same. But he knew something was majorly wrong. Mm-hmm. And so he was putting it off because he knew that was going to be the kickoff to like a huge battle or some really bad news. So he was trying to live his best life, trips and drinking and all of that leading up to it.
Yep.
And it just cracks me up that he would have a cigarette, right? Right outside the hospital or something.
Yeah. And then they diagnosed him and then they shipped him to another hospital. And then he had to wait 2 weeks to have surgery because he was popping Tylenols because the headaches were so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they thin your blood.
Yeah. So I remember all of that. It was very traumatic for the family because here we felt like, okay, here's another battle. Mm-hmm. But so you were just a girlfriend at that time. And I think that when he thought for sure, oh, she's out of here. I remember even telling me that. She's gone. There's no way. That's it. The fun is over. Yeah. Party's over. So when you stuck around through that, the brain surgery and the beginnings of all of that process, and you guys got engaged shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember my mom even asked me, she's after everything happened, she's like, well, are you going to settle? Is this it? And I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Like, he went through a health scare, a health battle, and he's going to be fine. I'm one of faith and always think positive and think things are going to work out. And that's always carried me through my life. Like, things are going to work out. Things are going to work out. And here we are, how many years later, with the family, twin girls and everything. And you know, thank goodness, he's much better. This is like the best he's ever been.
Yeah.
It's been battles. It's been the surgery and then radiation and then more radiation and surgery again and radiation.
Yeah. You guys, up until even shortly after my mom passed away, he had surgery, like literally 2.5 months after my mom passed away. And my mom, I remember in the hospital, she was like so mad at herself because she knew that his surgery was scheduled. She goes, what about Danny? I'm not going to be here to make sure he's okay. How selfless that woman was. She was more worried about, she was trying to hold on because she wanted to make sure he was okay.
Such an angel.
And so that was such a hard year, 2022, because my mom died in December of 2021 at the end of the month. And then right in March, he had surgery. Then he had another surgery to put his skull back on because they couldn't put his skull back on.
He has a fake skull.
It's just been crazy. So
not to mention like the seizures and everything else when he's not working because of the seizures. And thankfully, he hasn't had a big one, but he does get the aura still. And now he's not scared because before he would get an aura and take medication. Mm-hmm. And now he just like sits and lets it pass. Learning his body. He's just doing so, so good. And
yeah. So think about this, you guys. So we've got not only do... He's disabled and he remains disabled. So he's not working. He's disabled. He has issues that he continued medication and issues that he continues to deal with. And you are working full time. You're the career. You guys have twins and all of that. It's just a lot to juggle.
It is.
So he locked you down because you didn't leave when the party was over. So he locked you down. You guys got married. How long were you married before you decided to have kids or started on that process? Because that was a whole other process.
Yeah. So we got married in 2009 and we didn't want to have kids right away. But then in 2014, we were starting the process because we knew it couldn't be natural. Mm-hmm. So of course, you know, I had to do IVF. He had to have a surgery. I had to have surgeries too. So it was a lot. So we started prepping and doing all that in 2014. And then we find out that the brain tumor is growing again. So we had to stop everything and focus on him.
Oh my God, I think I had forgotten about that. That's just craziness. Again, you guys, just to give you a little back history, because of his treatments when he was a child, it was right at like puberty time, and that did affect his fertility. But thank goodness for modern medicine, they were able to perform a procedure where they were able to extract viable sperm. And so you guys went the in vitro route for pregnancy. But obviously, you guys had a little hiccup there with the growth back. So what happened after that?
So 2014, he had radiation, and it just took him a long time to get back to himself. But he was never himself after that. He started becoming himself now, I think, after that the latest surgery in 2022. And then, like, in 2016, it was like, okay, like, you're doing better. We got over that hurdle, and 2016, we started again. We went through IVF. We actually ended up going through two rounds, and I had a miscarriage, early miscarriage, and then the second one didn't take, and then the third one, boom. Twins.
Danny was like, of course, nothing twins. Because he, in full transparency, he was very overwhelmed by the fact that you guys were having twins. He wanted one baby.
Oh my gosh. I even have a video with the video, like the first video of the ultrasound. And you can just hear him like, oh my gosh. And he was already computing costs. Like, how are we going to do this? We got to start saving. Because Danny, he's a thinker. He's a researcher. He's a saver. He's all the good things, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's a little too much. Especially when I'm there, like, happy. Oh my gosh, I knew it. I knew it. And then he's over there thinking, oh my gosh, like, how are we going
to
do this?
I'm dying because I remember talking to you. I'm like, let me guess. He's already looking up, like, things about twins and, like, can't manage it. And you're like, yep, he's on all the websites. Oh, there goes.
I
remember my mom was so happy. Though, oh my gosh, she was so happy that you guys were having twins.
I found that video because we told you all on Mother's Day, and we gifted you a frame, and there was like a picture of us with the pregnancy stick. Do you remember that?
No, because I wasn't there.
That's right, you weren't there.
I was like traveling or something like that. You guys called me.
I'll have to show you the video because I found it, and it's just so cute. Like your mom and her loud voice, she's like, ah!
I need to see it. I would love to see that. You should send it to me because I can put it up on the. I can put it up on the show.
Okay, I'll send it.
You guys have to realize it wasn't just a normal thing because Danny, he was told like you're probably not going to be able to have kids. So the fact that the surgery on him worked and then your in vitro worked and then for it to be twins was like a miracle. Like these were like miracle babies. Okay.
100%.
And that was like a really cool thing. So now you're pregnant with twins and you're the head of household. Because mm-hmm. Danny's disabled. Mm-hmm. You're the head of household, career woman, professional woman. Now you have twins. Now you birth these baby girls. And how did you hold it together?
I don't know. Honestly, you just do the shit you have to do. It's a blur. If I try to remember, it's hard to remember those baby days because it was a blur. Like just going from one thing to another. it was hard. Mm-hmm. And always, I was always worrying about Daniel. Oh my gosh, like he didn't get sleep today. Is he going to have a seizure? Because there's triggers that mm-hmm. would cause him to have seizures, like stress or lack of sleep. And we weren't sleeping because we had crying babies in the middle of the night. So that's always been like a worry of me. Like, how's he doing? Or even now, like if he says like a trigger word and I'm like, oh,
yeah. Okay.
So it was so hard at the very beginning, but I'm so thankful that we had you and your mom and your dad and Michelle too helping, because it really does take a village.
Yeah.
We had round the clock. Thankfully, I was at Adobe at the time mm-hmm. and I had 6 months off. So that was very important and very needed, because with two, it's a struggle. I remember at night, so Danny would do like the morning day shift, mm-hmm. I would do the night shift, and going into the night, I would cry and get so stressed because I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. What if you just start thinking or yeah. And then I had to pump. I was pumping. So it was just so crazy because the schedule was you feed one baby at midnight, another one at 1, pump at 2, and then do it all over again, like hours and hours. And it was so
do you
hard.
Do you remember, because the days that I would help, the witching hour?
Yes.
What is it about the witching hour with babies? Like around the evening time, it's just that they turn up.
I don't know what it is. And it was always Danny.
Yes.
Oh my
so
gosh.
The girls are Daniela and Gabriella. So Danny, not to get confused with my brother, Danny, we could go on because that's a whole other episode. But it's not like it was peaches and roses when they were born. She ended up staying in the NICU quite a while. Almost didn't make it. She contracted RSV. In the NICU because of poor practices there in cross-contamination and things like that. So that was a whole other... So she was special needs for a while. And so that added to it. How was your mental state like during this time? When did you come out of the fog a little bit in terms of your mental state?
I don't think I'm out of the fog. No, I'm just kidding.
Did you experience postpartum depression?
I don't think I did. I don't think so. But as far as the fog, like I just remember it's always been just like a blur. And at the very beginning, man, it was just so hard. And always them, like I didn't have an identity, like mm-hmm. it was always mommy. And for a while there, I was trying to figure myself out. Mm-hmm. So this was like in 2019, because I'm like, I need something for myself. It mm-hmm. was just too, it was just too much. And I needed to get out of the house too, because this was before 2020, right? So mm-hmm. we were in the house, like we never left, because trying to leave with the girls, you know, it was too much. Like I would be sweating by the time I'd leave the house.
Yeah.
Like I was always sweating, running from one thing to another. It's crazy. It's crazy town. But so that was like in 2019 when I was just like, oh man, like I just need something. And mm-hmm. then that's when I actually found Monique. So like I sell beauty products, hair mm-hmm. care, clean hair products. And Nicole, she was selling at the time, and I saw her. She was at a convention and just having fun and just socializing mm-hmm. and this community. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I need that. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I jumped in. But never.
So
really
that was
back.
Like an outlet for you.
It was. And that's exactly what I needed, just to try to get myself back, because I wasn't Lorena. I was mm-hmm. mommy and wife too, because again, at that time, Danny, he was helping and doing his best, but he wasn't right mentally mm-hmm. because the brain tumor and the poor care, not mm-hmm. poor, poorish care that he was given just wasn't helping him, and he wasn't in the right space.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always getting tired too. So this is like another thing that was always hard for me, because he would help, but then like at 4 o'clock, he'd be done.
Mm-hmm.
So then he'd go up and sleep and it'd be all me. And on the weekends too, like it was all me because he was helping during the week.
Mm-hmm.
So like I had to take on so much because of that. And I didn't realize that until now. Like now that he's a man, like how did I do it?
Yeah, you think like, how in the hell did I do that? So let me ask you this in a vain question. Did you gain a lot of weight with a twin pregnancy?
I actually didn't, because I wasn't really hungry. I mm-hmm. didn't really have too many cravings. My cravings were good. I had like watermelon cravings mm-hmm. and fruit cravings, but I didn't gain too much. I don't even honestly know how much I gained, but it mm-hmm. wasn't too much mm-hmm. because I number one, I didn't have room to
eat. That's true.
Because I don't have a garbage stomach like you and Danny.
See, it runs in the family, man. We could eat and eat till we're just explode.
Yeah. I probably 30, 40 pounds, I think. Yeah. So I wasn't too, but I had a lot of loose skin, and that's my struggle right now too. Man, because mm-hmm. I'm older, elasticity, we'll go there later. But
okay. So 6 months after they're born, you return to work. Tell me what that's like.
Thankfully, I was working only I was only going to the office twice a week. So it wasn't too bad. It was actually nice to get out. Mm-hmm. I was enjoying it.
Right.
So it wasn't bad at all because Danny was handling it. You, your mom, everybody was there. Mm-hmm. So it was good. But I remember it was always a rush. Everything mm-hmm. was always a rush. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I have to get home because I have to, you know, go to the kids. Everything was a rush. It was nothing like calm or I just couldn't do anything for myself.
Yeah, you couldn't just have leisure time. What about getting your nails done or getting pedicured? I remember that was like a luxury for you.
Yeah, of course. Like I never let go of my nails.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was like my outlet. Like getting my nails and pedi done because that's all I could do. And I just felt bad asking like Danny, oh, can you take care of the girls so I can go with my girlfriends? Maybe the guilt.
Again, that's what happens with moms a lot of times. And it might happen with dads, but we're not talking to the dads right now, okay? We're talking about the moms. But I do feel like, why is it that we put it on ourselves as moms? Like, we feel like we need to find a babysitter or something. We have to handle the childcare if we want to go do something. But if the man has to go do something, they just do it and they just figure we're going to pick up the slack. Why is it like that?
I don't know. Yeah. And I don't know. And maybe it's a little bit of me too, because I hate asking, like depending on people or just, I just don't like it. It's one of my not so good traits.
Yeah.
Just not asking. Now with twins, you have to ask. And I've learned that you have to ask.
You need help.
You need help.
And I mean, we identified that. I remember when they were born, like, you guys are going to need help. Yeah. Like, you're not going to be able to do it. What are you guys going to do? We have to figure it out. And I mean, my mom and I tag teamed the situation a little bit.
Yeah.
And jumped in. And I cherished that time because it was really, it was good. It was fun bonding time with like my brother, bonding time with the girls, because I'm definitely more bonded with them because of that. Mm-hmm. There's just a different connection. But there is also the bonding that my mom and I had over it because we were like the only ones that knew like how hard it was and what was going on. So we would call and talk about it. Oh my God. It's so hard. The twins, it's so hard. And we would laugh about it. And then sometimes there was a few times where we'd give you guys like a night out.
Yes.
And so we would watch them together. And the drive home, we would be like, oh my God, we can't wait to go home.
I know.
I'm like, how are they going to do this, Mom? It's so hard. We would laugh the whole way home. So those are such good memories, though.
And Danny talks about that, too. He's so blessed and lucky and happy that he had those times with your mom.
Yeah.
Because they watched movies. They talked. A lot of conversations. Your mom confided in Danny mm-hmm. a lot because she was going through a lot, too.
Right.
You know? And I got close to your mom and you, too, because mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever been close. We've always been cool and everything, but we were never close. After that, I think we've definitely gotten much closer.
Yeah. You're in the trenches. We were like all in the trenches together. It was like a battle.
Yeah.
It was like a battlefield over there. Remember, I used to call it the dungeon because Danny wanted he wanted darkness at all times. I'm like, oh no, I'm going to the dungeon.
Yeah.
Because he had the curtains drawn. He wanted it so quiet. Oh my God. It was a process.
I don't know how we did it, honestly.
Like, I know.
People ask. I'm like, I don't know. Honestly, you just every day just go. I don't know.
Fast forward now, they're older. So what are you? How are you working on getting your life back a little bit and getting out of the house? What does that look like? What does your routines look like now? And what are the things you're doing for yourself?
Yeah, I'll start talking about myself because I never do. I always talk about the kids.
Right.
But like for myself, I started last year and I started walking because I'm like, I have to get back to something. I've always yo-yo dieted my whole entire life. And I can do good for 4, 5, 6 weeks and then something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I don't work out for a few months and keep doing it. That's my cycle. But I'm like, I have to break out of this because I'm an older parent and I want to be here when my girls are older. Like, I want to try to live so that when they have kids, I'll be old and decrepit, but at least I can be there and maybe help. So in last June, I'm like, okay, let me just start walking, right? So I started walking 3, 4 days a week and did that. And then in January, I was like, okay, I need to start hitting weights because I've always been a cardio bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know from you and I know you have to do weights. I know, but I just never do it. I never did it because I'm like, no, like cardio, burn calories. I'm like, I got it. And then I'm like, no, I have, something has to change. So I started incorporating weights in January, and I've been doing it ever since, 4 days a week. And now it's like a non-negotiable, like I need to work out, and I try to do everything else after. Like, for example, Thursdays are my shoulder days, but I'm like, no, I need time to get ready. So I did it yesterday, because usually Wednesdays are just cardio days.
Wow.
So it's like starting to think like ahead and be like, okay, like, I'm what impressed. Do I do? Yeah. What do I do to prepare? Because it's a non-negotiable for me. Like, I want to, and I'm doing it for myself, but more to be alive when my girls are older. A few weeks ago, I was, Gabby, she loves social media. She's always on my stories, always dancing. And she was watching a reel, and it was this older lady, and it said her age, like 72. So she read that, and she's not a grandma. She doesn't look like a grandma. And I'm like, I know. And you know why she doesn't look like a grandma? It's because she eats right and she works out. And you can just see the wheels spinning in her head.
Oh, like, my oh. goodness. Yes.
So that's what I said. I'm like, Gabby, that's why mommy and daddy eat right. We work out, because I want to be here when you're older, too. Mm-hmm. Because it was the grandma, the daughter, and her daughter. Mm-hmm. It was a reel that they all did. Mm-hmm. And she looks fabulous.
Yeah.
And I always go back to that, because it's so important to start creating those healthy habits now so that your kids can see.
Yeah.
Because they're going to follow what you do. If I'm sitting on the couch eating, that's what Gabby's going to do. Because yeah. Gabby's a snacker already. Oh, yeah. You know? She's yeah. like me. So I have to. Yeah. If I don't do it, who's going to do it?
Yeah. You're definitely setting the stage for them. So that's so important. But then it also, what I like that you said here, and this is a nugget, a gem for everybody listening. You didn't tell me that one day you woke up, you start tracking macros, and you exercise, and you're going to do all this, and you walk 10,000 steps. What did you say? You said a year ago you decided to start walking 3 days a week or whatever, right? It doesn't have to be gangbusters. You're laying the foundation, like little bricks that create like a good foundation for building upon, and you get better, and then you start enjoying the way you feel, and you layer in more things, and then it evolves into a permanent lifestyle.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I did, because I know if I try to do everything, I'm going to fail, because I failed time and time again. Mm-hmm. So now it's just, okay, let's do this. And I know how to track my macros, but I'm like, I'm not there just yet. Right. But I know when I have to pull the reins, I know what to do.
And that's what I like. It's you don't have to do everything. You don't have to just do everything all right off the bat. You know how to track. You are married to Mr. Macro, okay? He's Mr. Macro
Mr. Fasting.
With 10 freaking plus years of macro tracking. But you do know a lot of good eating habits, though. I know you guys have always been very healthy, and especially with Danny's health history. But do you focus on protein?
Yeah, so that's another thing, too. So it's just a few things right now, like weight. So I'm incorporating weights 4 times a week. Protein, like getting my protein in. And Danny's so good, because typically, like when I've tried this in the past, like I just get so annoyed at him. So he just like, forget it. I'm done helping you. But this time I'm like, I need your help, which is different, because I never ask for help. So he's okay. I'll help you. And like, he makes sure I have my protein in the morning. He'll make me my breakfast, my coffee, and my protein shake. So I have all of my stuff there with the girls too.
Yeah.
So he helps, because I'm willing for him to help.
Yeah. You know what I picked up on this? In this conversation throughout the process is when you have realized as a mom, as a busy woman, that it's okay to ask for help. Because we forget that a lot. I think as moms, we want to take the weight of the world on our shoulders. And you do have the weight of the world on your shoulders. You are the breadwinner, the family, the head of household, but it's okay to ask for help.
I know.
That's huge.
That was a big shift for me, because I just hate bothering people and inconveniencing them.
I also feel like when it comes to that, asking him for help specifically with your health journey, because you know he knows a lot about that, you don't ask in that regard because you don't want to be held accountable.
Probably, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the minute you ask, then he's on board. Mm-hmm. And then if you decide to stop, then he's going to be aware.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, you're going to have to face the music that you're not going to do it anymore.
That probably happens subconsciously. Ah. So like now, like it's funny because he doesn't even have to like poke me. Mm-hmm. Now, like I get up, I do my own thing and I finish my workout. He's always, you did it. I'm so proud of you, because he didn't even have to push me. Mm-hmm. So I don't, that's a pat on my back, because he doesn't have to push me anymore. I do it myself.
Yeah. And I think at least I want to give him credit for that too, in terms of, listen, it's hard. And I can tell you this from my own personal experience. It's hard to be the one in the couple that's super on top of everything and fitness, macros, nutrition, and you watch your partner not doing those things. It can be hard because it's very obvious to you what they're not doing when you're doing all the things. But I give him credit because I always feel like he has given you, let you do it when you're ready, because you cannot force somebody to be ready to embark on a healthy lifestyle journey.
100%. And he recognizes that mm-hmm. too.
Now that you have incorporated a lot of these things, you're eating protein, you're exercising, you're walking, how do you feel like it's affected your parenting, your being a wife, your just everything? How has it impacted your life?
I feel better. And you, even like when you look in the mirror, you look better. And that's confidence. Mm-hmm. It's okay, I'm doing it. I see the results. Mm-hmm. And especially because I'm not doing everything perfectly, it's taking a long time. I've accepted, and that's okay.
It's actually better.
So I accepted it, and now I'm just moving forward, like every day, just making sure that I do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the recipe for success when it comes to this kind of stuff is consistency, not speed. Speed sucks. Speed doesn't work. You've tried speed. I've had you in my programs before, full disclosure. You do very well, and then you disappear.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking about your program, that's how I lost my baby weight, mm-hmm. keto.
Yeah, I actually, beginning. I'm sure I have a picture. You did, you got to 128 or maybe even 126 or something like that with me. I have the data.
Yeah, I have pictures too. I remember a picture of us, I think it was at Elizabeth's house. And there's another one at one of your mm-hmm. kiosks mm-hmm. back in the day.
Yeah.
When you're doing that.
But the problem is and I don't like when my clients do this. I actually talk them through this a lot nowadays, is I don't like the ones that want to go gangbusters. They go, no, I want to do it all. I want to track calories, macros, carbs, fats, proteins, all the things. And I want to work out and I want to walk 10,000 steps a day and I'm going to do all the things. And I'm just like, whoa. You're just come off the couch, okay? Slow down, because you're going to the tortoise and the hare, right? The tortoise and the hare, right? You're running, and the tortoise is taking it slow and steady, and that's what works better. Like, you had great results, but then I think it was like a 8-week challenge you did, and then
life, and you then know, just stop working out, and just it's a spiral effect.
Yeah. What is your what is the hardest thing for you? Do you have a big appetite, or what is it that derails you?
Honestly, just being lazy. Like, I don't want to do it. I'll do it some days. And because I know I'm lazy, I do my workouts in the morning. So I know that about myself.
But
I have
not
to do
lazy.
It in the morning.
You're not lazy. You work a full-time job. You have twin daughters. You have a husband. And you have a side hustle. That is not what I would call lazy. You're not lazy. It's about time management and prioritizing what is the most important, I think. But do you see how we do that? Again, we do this as women. We do this as moms. You're calling yourself lazy, and you are not a lazy person. This is the last thing I would do is call you lazy.
I know. I don't know. Why do we do this to
ourselves? But we do it. This is what we do. And this is why I thought it would be so good to have you on, because you're so relatable. You know what I mean? There's so many women out there trying to juggle it all and they feel bad because I'm not like this person on Instagram that seems to do it all and have all this time and all this motivation, because it's not the case.
No, you can't do it all. And it's not about the motivation, because there's lots of days where I'm like, I don't want to do it. But you just mm-hmm. have to do it, because I know I have a goal and I want to live long. Now it's, before it used to be about feeling good, looking good. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, I just want to live a long life so I can be there with my girl. Mm.
I know that when my mom passed away, it opened up all of our eyes for like health. Remember, I was on mm-hmm. you too. Like, how long has it been since you went to the doctor? And I was on myself too, because I had let some things slip. But we all pulled together. Okay, we all got to go get checked. We got to get our mammograms. We got to get checked, because we need to be here for as long as we can. That's in our control,
right,
for our kids, because we bring them into this world. We owe it to them to stay here as long as possible. So sometimes what that would mean is maybe, you are sacrificing some time with them so that you can get your workout in. Mm-hmm. You're sacrificing some time with them so that you can do your meal prep. But in the long run, you're setting a really good example for them. And you are putting yourself in a position where you can be there with them for the long haul, so that they're not in holding your hand in the hospital saying, Mom, like, why didn't you take better care of yourself?
And also with the whole situation with your dad too, it's making me realize you also want to be financially responsible so that when you're older, you have the money to be able to take care of yourself too. Because I remember growing up, my grandpa used to tell me, oh, you have to take care of your mom. So that was ingrained in my head. You got to take care of your mom. So I knew I had to take care of her, right? It didn't go that way. But we're always told to do something.
And then it sticks our brains. Yeah. From when you're old. So the interesting thing is, so think about that. So if we're told something and then it sticks, we need to pay attention. Obviously, my kids are grown, so it's too late for me, but I think I've done an okay job. But we need to pay attention to what we are getting to stick into their little brains now. Mm-hmm. So what you're doing now by putting yourself first, I wouldn't say first, but sometimes you do, better at it.
Yeah.
Better at taking time for yourself. I feel like you put yourself together more often these days.
True.
You know what I mean? Like I see it. Yeah. I can tell even from social media, like you're putting yourself together a little bit more, putting makeup on, like you're finding yourself again. And how do you think that's impacted your relationship with Danny? Has it been positive or negative? Be honest.
I think it's positive because he loves when I wear a red lipstick. And today he's like, what lipstick are you gonna wear? I'm like, not the red one.
Oh my God, I'm dead.
And he's mad because you always take it off.
So I know that he, luckily, because we're not lucky enough to all have husbands that support when we want to look and feel our best. Sometimes maybe they feel a little insecure by that, but I know he likes it. Mm-hmm. He likes when you focus on taking care of yourself.
Yeah, because honestly, if I feel good, then I'm going to feel better in the bedroom.
Yeah, better sexy time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree completely. And I know that's the case in my household too. But yeah, I love that. I love that. I think that's so good. And I like that you're in this phase of your life and marriage and stuff like that. Now the girls are older, so you guys have more time. And yeah, but you have to still take us up on the babysitting offer. You guys need a date night.
I know. We do. And it's funny because this is it's going to be our 15th wedding anniversary in October. So we're like, what should we do? Maybe Tata. We'll take the kids over to Tata's house this time. Because before it's always you coming to us.
Yeah. And that's different.
Now that they're older.
And by then, I think Alyssa's planning on moving. So she's going to move it probably by the end of the summer. I'll have a spare bedroom because I'm going to make that into a spare bedroom. So it'll be perfect. They'll have their own bedroom. And yeah, we can have them. I wonder how they would like that. They probably love it.
I think they love it. They love you. Yeah. Ta-ta, ta-ta.
Yeah, they call me Tata, if you guys don't know.
I know.
And not Tatas. Tata.
I don't know how that came about. It was little Danny one day, and it just stuck. But it was like, Tata.
Remember, and it's the cutest thing. And I just can't get over it. I just love it. I love it. Still. And they would start to watch my YouTube channel and everything. And they would say, Tata, like I was on the screen. Yeah. I thought that was so cute.
And that's why Danny wants to start the YouTube channel, because she wants to be on TV like you.
Aww.
And remember you were doing your Christmas vlogs,
mm-hmm.
and she was in one of them. She likes to watch that one again and again.
Oh my gosh. She probably has watched that vlog so many times. Yes. Oh, that's
it's
so cute.
It's cute.
All right, you guys, we want to thank Lorena for joining us on today's episode. I think we got a lot of nuggets about being a busy mom. It's okay to ask for help. Take it little by little. Start working on putting yourself first. And remember, the little ones are watching, and the things that they are absorbing now are going to be huge impact on them later in life. And so thank you so much for coming and tuning in. But guess what? We have an after show that goes on Patreon. So not only is Lorena going to join us on the episode 506 after show, but she's also going to join me over on the green chairs for a little episode of Off Topic, because we have some other things to talk about that are not appropriate for YouTube. So we will see you guys, some of you, on the after show.